Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Today's message is titled, Waiting, and we're going to begin in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The text reads, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for having a perfect plan. You do everything perfectly. Open up our hearts to what you have done and what you are going to do in your name. Amen. You can be seated. Hey, one of the things I love about God is that He's always on time. Every time. How many of you are here today and you would say you're the kind of person that shows up 10 minutes early because that's being on time? Yeah. How many would say, you know what, if I'm 10 minutes late, it's okay because it's not late. When I get there, it's on time. Is that, you know, some of you? Yeah. Some of you are like married to someone who raised their hand for the other one. That can be a little frustrating. It's okay. We get it. We know the party doesn't start up till that person shows up, right? No matter when it is. Just how it works. But I love that God is always on time. He's never early. And He's never late. You might feel like He's late at times, but He's not. He's always on time. In our text, we read that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Meaning when the exact perfect moment in history that God had planned before the beginning of time, when that moment came, Jesus came. Perfect timing. And centuries before, the Old Testament prophets and kings have been prophesying, have been foretelling that there was this historic, game-changing moment that was coming to the earth. Like, salvation was coming, the Messiah was going to come, and it was going to change everything. And so, for years and years and years, the Israelites, the people of God, heard that. They read it in the scrolls, they heard the prophets speaking, they heard all the teachers speaking, the kings. They knew that there was this coming salvation, and so they began to look forward to it, even from the beginning. Even from the beginning. I mean, one example is all the way back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 49, verse 18, that we read of Jacob, who is longing for salvation. He says, "I am waiting for your salvation, O Lord." All the way back in the book of Genesis. That word means that he was eagerly looking for it. I'm waiting for your salvation. The psalmist and many others would write things like this. I wait for your salvation all day long. For you, O Lord, I wait. I'm waiting on you. I'm eagerly looking. I'm longing for that moment. So for so many years, the people of God heard what was going to happen, but they had no idea when it was going to happen. And so they waited. They waited, and they waited. We read in the New Testament of the Old Testament prophets and priests and kings that they died in faith, not having received what had been promised. They'd waited, 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 and waited. How many know that waiting is hard? Waiting is just hard, and for some of us, maybe we're better at it than others. Most of us probably aren't that good at it. As we get older, what do we say? Time flies. But when there's something that you're really looking forward to, something that you really want, time crawls. It just does. I mean, I bet there are some grandparents who are here today that tomorrow or the next day, you're looking forward to your kids and grandkids if they're able to make the trip and to come visit you and they haven't forgotten about you. And they call, okay, we're leaving at this time. We should get there around this time. That 8 hours or 4 hours or 12 hours is going to crawl for you because you can't wait. You're going to be checking your time there. You're going to be checking the weather. Are there any terrorist bombs getting ready to hit the highway at the point where they're going to be? You want it to be safe. Praying against ICE, all that. You want your kids to come. And when I say kids, you don't really probably care about your adult kids. It's the grandkids, right? Can we just be honest? Getting your arms around those grandkids. You can't wait. Time just crawls. How many remember when you were a kid and you're waiting for Christmas morning? Like every Christmas Eve, it took 3 years to get to Christmas morning. It just felt like it took so long. We aren't usually good at waiting. Now, I want you to be completely honest. How many of you at one time in your life, whether last week or years and years and years ago, sneaked a peek at one of your Christmas presents? All right. That's a bunch of us. Nowadays, it's easier with gift bags, isn't it? Move a little tissue paper. Oh, that's nice. Back in the day when people actually like took paper and they put it around a box, do anybody remember that? With tape and everything? That was hard to recreate. Especially if you tear it, you're like, oh no, I'm toast. Waiting's hard. Waiting's hard. And the people of Israel, people of the Old Testament, had been waiting and waiting. It's like it just wasn't happening. This coming salvation didn't yet come. And then we know that the Old Testament era ended. The last book in the Old Testament written was Malachi. It was written around 430 BC. And then the people of God entered into what many call 400 years of silence, meaning that during the 400 years, there are no prophetic voices that we know of. There were no more scriptural writings inspired by God. And the people had to have been wondering, where is this Messiah? 400 years of silence? It was not only 400 years of silence, it was also 400 years of heart-wrenching desperation. During that 400 years, history records the emergence of Alexander the Great, and then after him, the Seleucid dynasty began their domination. And history also records that their leader, Antiochus, sent troops to Jerusalem, right to Jerusalem, and they plundered the city. They killed many of the residents, and then they enslaved many others, and it became immediately a capital offense for the Jewish people to observe even the Sabbath day. It became even a capital offense if they possessed an Old Testament scroll. Talk about a difficult 400 years. These enemy soldiers, it's said, even placed pagan idol in the holy sacred temple. Just trying to desecrate anything that had to do with their faith in Jehovah God. 400 years of conflict, heartache. Now, interestingly, we read about another 400-year period of time in the Bible. Remember back in Exodus, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years until God sent deliverance. And then this morning I'm talking about another 400-year period of time that was terribly difficult, terribly challenging until God sent deliverance in the form of Jesus Christ. And I wonder during that 400 years of silence how many people gave up. I wonder how many people stopped looking for the Messiah. 400 years? That's a long time. I wonder how many are like, I don't know if that's going to happen. What we see in Luke chapter 2 are two people that had not forgotten the prophecies. There were two people that were still on the edge of their seats waiting with expectation for the coming of the Messiah, for the coming of Christ. They couldn't wait. They hadn't forgotten. And I find this a little interesting because these two people are not in most of our nativity scenes. You know, I know that for a fact because I looked under our tree a few days ago looking for these two people and didn't see them there. Other guys were there, like the wise men were there, but not these two. And I find that to be shocking because these two people actually saw Jesus before the wise men ever did. But yet they're not in the nativity scene. Okay, soapbox. Luke chapter 2. There were these two people, one by the name of Simeon, one by the name of Anna. Let me read first of all about Simeon. It says, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And on that day, he did. And here's why. Mary and Joseph brought baby Jesus to the temple 40 days after he was born, which was the time of purification. And this was Old Testament law for them to bring their baby to the temple to offer a sacrifice and to also present him to the Lord. Now, the sacrifice, you might be reminded of a certain Christmas song. The sacrifice was actually two turtle doves, okay, that they would give because they were poor. And I don't know if that's where that song launched out of, because I think it's the only thing biblical in that song, maybe, but two turtle doves is what Mary and Joseph would have given and did give on that day. They came in contact with a man named Simeon. Now, the other person was a woman by the name of Anna. Verse 36 says, "And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day." Now, we don't know actually a lot about Simeon and Anna, other than what we read in these scriptures right here. We do know that they had waited a really, really long time. Simeon was probably just holding on to a few more months of his life. Anna says was 84 years old. And he uses the phrase advanced in years. How many of you ever feel advanced in years sometimes? Yeah. Anna was advanced in years. She was 84 years old. And if, let's say, she heard about the coming Messiah, the salvation, at a young age, let's say even then at age 10, she began to really pray about that and think about that and look forward to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of salvation for her nation. Age 10 to age 84, that's 27,000 days. That's 648,000 hours. Or another way to say it would be that would be north of 38.8 million minutes of waiting. And we get frustrated when we stand in line for a Christmas present. 38.8 million minutes of waiting. But some things are just worth waiting for. I think chocolate chip cookies are worth waiting for. I'm not going to try to get too distracted, but I think that Christmas morning is worth waiting for. For the teenagers in this place, let me just say what's taught in Scripture, and that is love is worth waiting for. Old Testament says, "Do not awaken love before its time." Simeon and Anna, they were convinced that to set their eyes on the Messiah, to set their eyes on Jesus was worth waiting for, even if it was 38.8 million minutes. And on that extraordinary day, when Mary and Joseph came in with baby Jesus, Simeon and Anna had their biggest lifelong prayer answered like that. I want to ask you today, how many of you are waiting for something? You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you are waiting for something? I'm not talking about Christmas present or upcoming football game. I'm like significant things that you've been praying for, that you've been believing God for, that you've been maybe hoping that it would take place in 2019 and it hasn't yet taken place. Things that you're going after God for. You know, maybe it's that family member that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus to finally turn their heart over to God. Maybe it's waiting for a godly man or a godly woman to surface that you could maybe consider marrying. Maybe it's a certain temptation that's really, really tempting that you're praying won't be tempting anymore and you're just wanting to have freedom from that. You might be here and whether you might call yourself a skeptic to the things of God and someone brought you here today and maybe you're hoping that one of your questions will get answered about God or that you would maybe have like a real life encounter with God that you hear other people have had. Could be some here today that are waiting, they're hoping, they're praying that they might finally have a child. Or those who have a child hoping that they will stop acting like a child. I'm listing just a couple more here. What about those that might really be praying and hoping to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we read about in Acts chapter 1 and 2 and throughout the book and then into the New Testament? You're wanting that experience to be empowered from on high so you can be a bold witness for Him. And you feel like it hasn't yet happened. You know it's in the Word, but it hasn't been experienced. Maybe you're waiting for a financial breakthrough. Maybe you're waiting for clarity to know what to do, how to take that next step. Maybe you're waiting for that person that you've been praying for. You care about them. They're in constant pain. You're just praying for healing, or maybe that's your situation. You're praying, you're hoping, you're believing God for it, and it just hasn't happened yet. Well, it's possible that every single one of us in this place are actually in a season of waiting. It's very possible that every single one of us have at least one thing that we are hoping for, that we're still praying for. We're still going after in prayer. And what jumps out to me about Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2 is not simply how long they waited, although they waited a long time, but it's how they waited. And I believe that how they waited, as we see in this scripture, can encourage us whenever we are walking through a waiting season, because some of us might be in a waiting season even right now. First one I want to mention as I dig into this text is this: while waiting, keep moving. While waiting, keep moving. What Simeon and Anna did on this extraordinary day that we read about in Luke chapter 2 is what they had been doing on the ordinary days. Because on the ordinary days, they had gone to the temple to worship God. And on this day, they went to the temple to worship God. They did what they knew to do. But think about it. What if they had given up? After 38.8 million minutes, what if they said, you know what, I'm throwing in the towel. I'm not praying for this anymore. It hasn't happened. It's probably never going to happen. What's the point? What's the point in getting up out of bed today? What's the point in going into the temple again like this is ever going to happen? What if they had given up? Well, they would have missed out, right? They would have missed out on seeing what the ancients had longed to see for centuries. I find that in a waiting season, there are some people who are tempted to give up, tempted to stop, tempted to take the foot off the accelerator and just, it's probably not going to happen. You know, that person's never going to come to God. That pain's never going to go. It's not going to happen. And people give up. And what we see in Simeon and Anna is they didn't know what day this was going to happen, if it was going to happen in their life for sure. They hadn't lived that day before. Yet, what we see is that they just kept doing what they knew to do. Day after day, minute after minute, year after year, they just kept doing what they knew to do. And sometimes the best things that we can do when we're in a season of waiting is just to keep moving, to do what we know to do. Maybe it's to get up out of bed in the morning, have some breakfast, have some time in the Word and prayer, go to work, come back, care about the people that God has placed in our life, connect with some other believers at some point in the week, go to church, be around community of people that love God. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes the best thing that we can do in a season of waiting is just do what we know to do. Amen. Keep doing what we know to do. Stay the course. I love Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 that says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we faint not." Keep moving. God had given Abraham the promise that he was going to have a son. And 24 long years later, he and Sarah held little Isaac. David was anointed to be the next king of Israel. And as you read scripture, best guess is it was a little over 20 years, 20 challenging years before David wore the crown and ruled over the 12 tribes of Israel. Sometimes God's timing is not our timing. Actually, why don't we say pretty much always, God's timing is not our timing. But while waiting, keep moving. And here's why. Because a waiting season is not to be a wasted season. It can be if we choose. That's not God's intention. Think about Abraham and David and what they experienced and what they accomplished for their people during those 24 years and 20-year periods. They just kept moving. While waiting, keep moving. In other words, keep growing, keep learning, keep living, keep breathing, keep making a difference, keep doing what you know to do. Secondly, while waiting, keep looking. See, don't just wait, expect. In other words, be praying, be hoping, be believing, but keep one eye open. As it says in Psalm 5, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you," and wait expectantly. It means to keep watch, to watch closely, to look closely. Now, in the biblical Christmas account, we see Mary, when she received the news that she was going to carry the Christ child, she was scared. Scripture says that she was greatly troubled. That means she's scared out of her mind. That's what that means. Translation. You think about the shepherds. Whenever the angels came and they brought them news of Jesus' birth, it says that they were greatly troubled. They were filled with fear. Poof. They were so scared. Interestingly, in Luke chapter 2, when we see Simeon and Anna receiving this news and seeing Jesus, they don't freak out. They're not scared out of their minds. What do we see? They're excited. They're excited. They have been praying for 38.8 million minutes. They've been waiting for a really long time. And when they saw the Christ child, they were like, oh no! They were like, yes! They were excited. Why? Because they had been expecting. The prayer book, Draw the Circle, shares this story from 50 years ago. When a Mississippi drought threatened to destroy a season of crops, a rural church with many farmers in the congregation called for an emergency prayer meeting. Dozens of farmers showed up to pray. Most of them wore their traditional overalls, but one of them wore waders. Now, he got a few funny looks during the prayer meeting, but if we genuinely believe that God's going to answer our prayer for rain, wouldn't we dress for rain? That's exactly what he did. I love his simple, childlike faith, this old seasoned farmer. He simply said, I don't want to walk home wet. And as the account goes from 50 years ago, he didn't walk home wet. But everybody else did. Because he had an expectation that God's able to do more than we can even ask or imagine. Why not dress for the miracle? Why not pray with one eye open? Why not look for the miracle? The text says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the Messiah. He's waiting for the Christ to come. One of the definitions of that original word used there in the text means this, to expect the fulfillment of promises. See, Simeon was expecting the fulfillment of this problem. He wasn't waiting like, oh, we'll see what happens. If it happens, I don't know. I don't think it will. No, he was waiting in expectation of the fulfillment of the promise. And I want to challenge you. When you pray the word of God, pray with the expectation of the fulfillment of his promises. It's very safe to say that Simeon and Anna got up that morning not knowing that it was going to be the day. But I believe what we see in this passage is that they got up that morning knowing that it could be the day, as they had the day before and the day before and the day before. You never know when God is just going to step in. God doesn't go by our timelines, okay? You never know. If it's something you've been praying for, believing God for, you're hoping for, you never know when God just might step in and be like, boop, done, taken care of, miracle. The New Testament writers wrote a lot about waiting with expectation for the fulfillment of God's promises. And often they wrote about this waiting in reference to the second coming of Christ. Jesus came 2,000 years ago. Jesus has promised that he's coming back again for his church, for those who have placed their faith in him. One of the examples of this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. I love this. Not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Are you eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus? Are you eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus? There are so many times, as I go through the course of a week, and I'm praying for one of you that's going through a tough time, or I just notice that, man, the enemy is really hitting someone really hard. I'm just like, Lord Jesus, come for us. Come quickly, rescue. Come back as you have promised you would come back. And the New Testament writers over and over would challenge the readers and challenge us as New Testament believers. Be ready. Be looking. Pray, but pray with one eye open because Jesus is coming back. And for those who are here today and you'd say you haven't yet placed your faith in Jesus, you haven't yet surrendered your life to Jesus, right now in this moment you can do that. right now, right where you sit, I encourage you, why don't you just close your eyes, just shutting out distractions and just calling the name of the Lord. Admit that you're a sinner, that you've sinned against him. Declare that you believe in him, that he is God, that he died on this cross, that he rose again for your salvation. Surrender your life to him. I'm telling you, you can do that even right now and be ready for his return. I love that. Jesus is coming back not to deal with sin. He's already dealt with it. He already took care of the sin problem. He's coming back to get those who are eagerly waiting for him. Simeon and Anna were ready for Jesus' first coming on that day. You see it. They weren't even shocked. They were totally ready. Are you ready for the second coming? While waiting, keep looking. Third, while waiting, keep asking. Don't stop asking. Be like the little kid who wants something for Christmas and they don't stop. Okay. Incessantly. Please, 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 can I have this? Can I have this? They get it. Keep asking. Good chance you might end up getting it at some point just to keep you quiet. Now, as we hear Simeon and Anna and the things that they said and the things that they were excited about, we see that they had not stopped asking. They had not stopped asking. 38.8 million minutes. I wonder how many of those minutes were spent asking. God, I want to see the Christ. God, I want to see the Messiah. Lord, would you let me, before I pass on, see the Messiah? I'm sure it was more than 5 or 10, probably more than 500. Anna, it says, did not depart from the temple worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. She was all in. She was all in asking the Lord, oh God, give me this opportunity. You know, in scriptures like this, I often stop and ask why. Why, when the ancients had been longing to see the coming salvation, why did Simeon and Anna get the opportunity and the privilege with their own two eyes to see Jesus, to hold him in their arms? Why did they get that and the others didn't? And there's so much of God that we don't understand. So much of God that we don't understand, that we don't get. But I wonder if part of it, just a guess, I wonder if part of the reason why Simeon and Anna were there on that day and they had this opportunity is because they just wouldn't stop asking. They just kept asking. It's a New Testament principle. Jesus said, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone that asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus even said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? It's a principle. Ask, 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 ask. Don't give up. While waiting, keep asking. And remember that God's delays are not always God's denials. So important. There are times when God might not just say, yes, boom, here you go. There are times when there's a delay. Not yet. Not yet. We got to be okay with that, and we keep asking. This last one is something that I just put into my notes just a few days ago because I think it's something that we can miss when we're in a waiting season. So while waiting, lastly, keep abiding. What I mean is this, while waiting for God to do something, while waiting for God to answer that prayer, while waiting for God to come in and to intervene and do something that's beyond what you can do, that thing that you're hoping for, while waiting for God, wait on God. I'm talking about the unhurried moments of just spending time with him. The unhurried moments of saying, God, I'm seeking you even more than I'm seeking these answers and the clarification and the guidance and this person that needs to change and this and that. God, I'm seeking you. I'm pursuing you more than I'm pursuing these things. You're the treasure. You're the prize. While waiting for God, wait on God. Psalm 27 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The more you wait on God, the more you will know God. The more you wait on God, the closer you'll become to God. Interestingly, with Simeon and Anna, is that when the Christ child came into the room, they were ready. There's a reason for that. is because they had spent year after year, moment after moment, being in the Lord's presence, being close to the Lord. The word says here in Luke 2 that Simeon had experienced the Holy Spirit being on him. He had received revelation from the Holy Spirit about a promise in the future that he was going to experience. He came even that day, the word says, in the Spirit. They had been in God's presence. It had become a practice for them. It was a consistent part of their life. And therefore, whenever this baby came into the room, they knew who the baby was. You think that was the first baby they had seen in weeks or months in the temple? No, babies are coming in all the time. What? Because they're offering the turtle doves and they're presenting them to the Lord. That's what they did. No. This has been seeing babies all the time. But they recognized this baby was different. This baby was the Messiah. Why? Because they've been in God's presence. The more you know God, the closer you are to God, the more you abide in him, the more you're going to recognize him. The more you're going to notice the work that he's doing in you from the inside out. The more you're going to notice opportunities. The more you're going to notice miracles and answers to prayer that God wants to do in and through our lives. So while waiting on God, while waiting for God, wait on God. I love this verse in Isaiah 40. It says, "Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And if we could speak to Simeon and Anna today and ask them, all right, was it worth it? Was it worth it? 38.8 million minutes of waiting. Was it worth it? We know what they'd say. Absolutely. Absolutely. They got to see Jesus when he was here on this earth. It was worth it. I want to encourage you. If you're in a waiting season, something that you've been hoping for, praying for, believing God for, something you've been wondering about, you've been asking God to give you clarity, asking God to give you just guidance, whatever it might be, don't stop waiting. It's worth it. It's worth it. And while you're waiting, keep moving. Keep moving forward. Keep putting one step in front of the other. Stay the course. While you're waiting, keep looking. You never know. You never know when God's going to step in. And keep asking. Don't stop. Jesus invites us to ask. He invites us to pray. He wants us to have that communion with him. And keep abiding. Simeon and Anna didn't miss the point. The point is Jesus. And they were there. My prayer for all of you today is that you won't miss out on that thing that you're praying for and believing God for as long as it's his will. I'm praying that you don't miss out on that, but more importantly than that, I'm praying that you don't miss out on God, that you don't miss out on him, on relationship with him, on being close with him. And I have found that during sometimes the holiday seasons or vacation time you might be taking or whatever, it's easy for us who normally spend time with the Lord to get out of rhythm, right? So we got all these things, got to take care of this, that, and whatever. I encourage you over this week, carve out time. Prioritize time to just abide in him. And maybe it's not so much about getting what you're praying for as it is about getting him and being close with him. And Lord, before we go even any further, I just pray that you will help us, Lord, this week to abide in you. Lord, to trust you in the waiting seasons, to believe that you are moving and that you are working and that you have our best interests in mind. God, I thank you that you are faithful every day, perfect in everything that you do. We can trust you, Lord, and help us, Lord, over these next few days not to miss you and miss the things that you want to teach us and show us and do in us and through us. In your name, amen.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.